WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time, your favorite part of each and every afternoon, at least I hope so. Yes, Current Sports has begun. I am your host, as always, Al Martin. Another day, another dollar. Yeah, I guess that's fitting, seeing as though it's pledge week here at WKAR, right? But we have a great show in store for you all. A ton to talk about. I'm just getting back from the Mark D'Antonio presser. Yes, Mark addressed us media members talking about the state of his team, what went wrong against Nebraska, what's going to go right against Purdue, hopefully. And yes, he was asked about it. The student section not staying until the entire game on Saturday. He addressed that. We'll chat about that and so much more, including the Tigers. We didn't get to talk about the Tigers yesterday. I can't believe that. Even weekend winners, we didn't get to that either. So we'll bring that to today's show. Top 5 Tuesday. Adrian Peterson is in some hot water once again. All of that and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, October 7th. All right, folks. Well, here are your Current Sports quick headliners for this October 7th. On October 24th, the eve of the rival game between the University of Michigan and Michigan State. Get this. The game ball will be ran from Ann Arbor to East Lansing. That's a distance of 64 miles. Now, the ball will be run by ROTC cadets and a solo ultra runner. So hopefully a start of a new tradition there. That's pretty cool stuff. All right, Michigan. Yes, Michigan football. They have lost 3 straight games, putting them at 2-4 on the season and 0-2 in the Big Ten. Everyone knows the fans aren't pleased, but Michigan fans are asking for their continued support. Quote, no one likes losing, he went on to say. This is from Frank Clark, senior defensive lineman. But then again, we love the fan support. Now, Michigan will take on Penn State this Saturday night at the Big House primetime game on the national stage. Let's see how the fan turnout is for that one. How about this? Some great news for Tony Lippitt and well-deserved. Michigan State receiver Tony Lippitt was one of 9 players added to the watch list for the Biletnikoff Award, which recognizes the nation's top receiver. Now, Lippitt currently leads the Big Ten with 525 receiving yards. He has 25 catches and 7 TDs, which includes a touchdown in each of his last 7 contests. MSU's next contest is at Purdue this Saturday. The Boilermakers are 3-3 overall and 1-1 in the Big Ten. Michigan State will enter their second week of conference play, 4-1 and 1-0 in the Big Ten. We'll also have more from the Mark D'Antonio 11:30 a.m. presser down at Spartan Stadium. All right, due to the season-ending injuries of Lions cornerbacks Bill Bentley and Nevin Lawson, as well as the absence of Cassius Vaughn, the Lions will try out Ellis Langster and Curtis Marsh for cornerback position. So not only are they trying out each and every kicker in the entire U.S. of A, but they are also working out some corners to try and fill a few voids. All right, and the Pistons, how about this? I'm excited. My favorite team is back in action today, the Detroit Pistons. They will begin the exhibition season tonight with a home game playing against the Chicago Bulls. Now, as of yesterday, Coach Stan Van Gundy was sure of the 9 out of 10 players who will see the floor tonight, but undecided on his starting lineup. As for tonight's game, Gundy explains his goal, saying, I want to see an intensity and competitiveness for sure. I like to see organization that we're doing what we're supposed to do. Tip-off against the Bulls is at 7:30 p.m. MLB playoff update for you. The Nationals avoided elimination in the NLDS with a 4-1 win over the Giants in San Fran last night. Now, the Giants lead the series 2-1. Game 4 will be played this evening. Gio Gonzalez will take the mound for the Nets while Ryan Volkskong gets the ball for the Giants. Now, the Cardinals topped the Dodgers last night, 3-1 in St. Louis. The Cards have a 2-1 series lead. The teams will play tonight again in St. Louis. The Dodgers send their ace Clayton Kershaw to the mound, and the Cards will send Shelby Miller. Last night in primetime game in Monday Night Football resulted in a win for the Seattle Seahawks against the Washington Redskins. Washington dropped 1-4 despite a 151-yard game from DeSean Jackson. The Seahawks moved to 3-1, tying Arizona for the top spot in the NFC West. And Kirk Cousins didn't have a shabby game that game either. And Adrian Peterson, he's in some trouble again, folks. Adrian Peterson's charity organization, the All Day Foundation, is currently under suspicion of fraud. Donations reportedly made to straight from the Heart Ministries in Laurel, Maryland, were never received from All Day, as well as a contribution made to a Texas food bank. Now, Peterson's foundation denied the accusations and claimed there is a straight from the Heart organization in California, and a similar mistake was made in the paperwork regarding the food banks. In more news, AP begins his trial tomorrow in Texas, and the Minnesota running back is prepared to plead not guilty to child abuse charges. Well, those wrap up your current sports quick and headliners for this October 7th. The phone lines are now open. How you doing, beautiful people? Yes, it is a gorgeous day outside. I'm just coming back in the studio after attending the Mark D'Antonio weekly presser down at Spartan Stadium on this October 7th, 2014. Again, as I just stated, our phone lines are now open. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour up until 2 p.m. You know that number to dial, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And if you don't happen to be by a phone or happen to be at work but still have your internet browser open and happen to be on social media, you know, I'm always on social media when I'm at work. Well, I have to be. That's one of the reasons. But hey, you can tweet us at L Martin WKAR or at our official current sports Twitter page of at WKAR underscore sports. Or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave us a comment there. Again, a ton to talk about. Later on in the show, it's Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday, we love to talk about a top five topic in the world of sports. And today's Top 5 Tuesday centers on the NFL. Yeah, the top five NFL teams in the NFL as of right now, okay? We've seen a lot of NFL action these past few weeks. A lot of people have predictions and are analyzing things and looking at the entire spectrum of the league. So we're going to break down, Alex and I are going to break down our top five teams as of right now in the NFL and to give our reasons as to why we chose those teams. So you don't want to miss that. Also, later on in the show, we'll be talking about, as I just mentioned, in our current sports quick hit headliners, Adrian Peterson. How about AP? Now, this is a guy who got a lot of press, and deservingly so, for an incident involving his young child, in which it was found that, as you just heard, AP is saying that he is he's not guilty of this whole thing. He feels as though, you know, it was kind of overboard. He definitely went overboard with the situation, but he's being accused of child abuse. There were pictures that were released of his young child that he was scarred up, and this whole story went viral. But in addition to that, some reporters have done some digging into Adrian Peterson's past and have found that Adrian Peterson is also in some hot water for some things that took place a few years ago. Now, again, his charity organization entitled the All Day Foundation is currently under suspicion of fraud. Now, this report is saying that donations were made to Straight from the Heart Ministries in Laurel, Maryland, and they were never received from All Day, as well as a contribution made to a Texas food bank. Now, Peterson's foundation has, of course, denied the accusations and claimed that there is a Straight from the Heart organization in California, and a similar mistake was made in paperwork regarding the food banks. And so that's just part of the story. There's also another twist to this story that highlights a party that Adrian Peterson threw, a pretty big party, that, you know, I believe Chris Brown was there. For those of you who don't know who Chris Brown is, but Chris Brown is a R&B singing sensation who is a pretty popular guy. Chris Brown was at this party with Adrian Peterson, along with, I believe, four other women. And there were some interesting things taking place, allegedly, at this party. I'm going to break down what exactly happened at that party later on in the hour, and you're going to get our thoughts on that, as well as the All Day Foundation scandal, if you will, and just what this means for the future of Adrian Peterson. So you want to hold tight. You want to hold tight as we get the details, or as I tell you the details about that story. That should be an interesting conversation. And also, how about the Detroit Pistons, folks? Yeah, my Pistons, my favorite team. I'm a beloved Piston fan. I've been a Piston fan ever since I popped out the womb, okay? And yeah, the Pistons start their season tonight against the Chicago Bulls. It's an exhibition game, so a preseason game, but I'm excited nonetheless just to see the Pistons, the red, white, and blue, hitting the hardwood once again. I think that, you know, I would like to think, I guess you could say, that the Pistons plan this. You know, they start their season, my favorite team, starting their season today on October 7th because it is my birthday. How about that? Yes, I'm turning 24. Years old. Man, time is flying, folks. But yeah, it's my birthday, October 7th. 1990 is the exact date of my birth here in Detroit at the time, now in Lansing. But man, I can't believe I'm 24 years old now. Man, I tell you, it seems like yesterday I was still in high school. But yeah, I mean, how about the Pistons though? So we'll kind of dive into the expectations for the Detroit Pistons on the brink of a new season. And how about Michigan calling for fan support? How about that? No surprise there. It seems like everybody is calling for fan support, even here in the territory of the green and white, as, yes, Mark D'Antonio addressed it in his presser, which we're going to start off our show by talking about. But before we get into that, I have to welcome Alex Shar to the show. Alex, the man behind the glass. How you doing, my man?
Al, doing pretty well. And actually, I was going to wait till the end of the show, but today's a special day on Current Sports because
Why is that?
Your birthday.
Oh, yeah. It is my birthday. Crazy, right? I'm 24 years old, man. Again, it seems like yesterday I was in high school, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, just taking classes, playing ball, getting my Al Jordan on, and now, you know, I'm a broadcaster.
Yeah, and listeners, there's actually a sneak peek picture that you can find out if you go to the Current Sports page of Al with a nice little present on his head.
Yes.
So you can go check that out if
yes,
you want
there is.
The latest Al Martin pictures.
Yeah, that, you know what, our great interns, you know, and to call them out, you know, Lily, Alyssa, Amanda, and Jazzy, they took a picture of me and it had a really, I don't like this picture though. I look kind of quirky in this picture. I don't like the picture, but you know, it's a picture of me, you know, with a nice birthday crown on my head to celebrate my 24th birthday. And Isaac, I'm looking at Isaac. Isaac is actually in that picture too. I don't know. Isaac's head got, you know, somehow cropped into the picture, so Isaac is also in the picture, working very diligently, cutting some bites for us on the show. So yeah, but thanks a lot, Alex.
What are you doing for your birthday tonight, man?
I tell you what. So after I do the radio show, I'm just gonna, you know, I got to edit for the TV show. Get prepped. Again, that's kind of a great segue into the TV show, because tomorrow, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, I will be sitting down with Trevor Manuel, who is a national basketball recruit, who is a basketball player now for the Lansing Everett Vikings high school team. Him and his dad will be joining me to talk about why Trevor picked Oregon of all schools to take his basketball talents to, and also, you know, how he's transitioning into now his senior year of high school basketball. But if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can simply go to WKAR.org to sign up online for free and join us for that taping. But, you know, I'm editing video for tomorrow's episode after the show, and then I'll be heading out to MSU football practice to see how the green and white are doing on the gridiron. And then after that, I'll come back and edit some more. I have to work out, you know, get my Al Diesel on at Planet Fitness. I'll hit the grocery store up and come back, cook.
Okay, so pretty ordinary.
Yeah, pretty ordinary day. No, I'm doing nothing special. I'm probably just go to bed, man. So an ordinary day for me, nothing special today. It's a Tuesday.
Are you 2? Are you 20? Are you 30?
No.
Should I stop?
Stop. No, 24.
Okay.
24. I'll get there. Not right now, though. But I'm blessed, though. 24 years on this earth, man. I tell you what, I'm certainly blessed and thankful to see another year. So, but Alex, we got a lot to talk about on today's show, though, man. A lot to talk about. Again, as I just mentioned, I went out to Spartan Stadium around 11:30 to cover the Mark D'Antonio weekly presser. D'Antonio had some interesting things to say concerning a lot. First off, I definitely have to bring this up. Some news that many Spartan fans are probably don't want to hear, but you know, we kind of alluded to it when the injury happened on Saturday. But Mylon Hicks will miss at least 5 weeks due to a broken arm. So bad injury news for MSU right there. Cox will play star and nickel. Jalen Powell, probably the offensive linebacker. Frey moves up the chart as well. So Mylon Hicks, broken arm, out 5 weeks. Some bad news to start off that presser. So, yeah. And moving on from that, though, I will say this. I love how D'Antonio, he addressed an interesting point of view here. A question that was asked by my former boss at Channel 6, Fred Heumann, sports director over at WLNS TV6. And Fred asked, you know, looking at this whole picture, I guess you could say, with the playoff, with the four-team playoff, how does, a win over Nebraska, a close win, an edgy win over Nebraska look on the national scheme of things when it comes to the four-team playoff? And whether or not, looking at margin of victory, should that, how much, I guess you could say, how much should you harp on that, or should the committee harp on when taking that in consideration with margin of victory? How much should that be taken in consideration when looking at the four-team playoff? And I think that, you know, D'Antonio had an interesting take on it, one that is very viable, to say the least, but one that also isn't realistic. And the reason why I say that is D'Antonio, at the end of the day, when he was asked his question, Alex, he talked about how he feels as though winning kind of, you know, at the end of the day, winning is what should matter most. Margin of victory is certainly another subplot to this whole discussion and will be taken in consideration. But he feels as though, you know, in many regards, it takes the forefront a little too much, which I certainly see. I feel him on that, and I definitely agree with him on that. But at the end of the day, let's be honest here, a 50-point blowout certainly looks sexier than a win by a touchdown or two. Yeah, am I right?
But at the same time, as a head coach, I think that's the right thing to say.
It's the right thing to say. It's the politically correct thing to
right.
say.
I mean,
so I'm not surprised he had that take.
Sure.
Right.
You don't want him to get ahead of himself and start counting the point margins. And let's say they lose a close game against Ohio State at home. Or let's say they go to Michigan and something falls apart. So you never know what's going to happen. It's the very political right way to say, cabaret, cliche, kind of expected. But I think at the end of the year, Al, if it comes to the difference where it's a point margin and Michigan State is at number 5 and they miss out, I think then you'll hear something from D'Antonio about that.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I think that deep down, I would assume he feels exactly that way about the point margin, that it matters. But I think this is what you can expect.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was definitely the cliche answer. But if you look at it, another thing he brought up was that, you know, MSU had a legitimate case last season to have some national championship, you know, bid talks. You know, they won the Rose Bowl. They only lost one game the entire year on the road to Notre Dame. So he brought up the fact that, hey, let's say MSU goes and only has one blemish on their record, which I predict will happen. That's just my take on it, my personal opinion, that blemish being the loss to Oregon. Hey, I mean, he brought up how there's going to be other one-loss teams around the nation. How you start to dwindle down and sort of break up which one of those one-loss teams deserve to be in the playoff and which ones don't varies across the spectrum. It's going to be interesting to see how they dwindle that down. He also hit on that as well. So he had some interesting takes today. I thought D'Antonio was great in today's presser, I thought. Also, he was asked about in how we brought this up on Monday, Alex, why there was no Delton Williams on Saturday. Why we didn't see Delton Williams. Delton Williams, you know, a power back. I was certainly surprised that we didn't get to see him at all on Saturday. We saw a lot of Nick Hill. We saw a lot of Langford. So D'Antonio was asked why no Delton. And, you know, he said, hey, you know, he talked to Dave Warner after the game, and Warner wanted to stick with Langford. He thought Langford, was pretty efficient throughout the game, which he was. You can't argue with that. And, you know, he didn't want to throw in Delton. So there you have that take on that. You can take that for what it's worth. And also, yes, we have to bring up this. It was one of the centerpieces of our current sports show yesterday. We got a lot of callers on it, a lot of takes on it. some very interesting takes on it. Concerning the student section, for Michigan State. Again, I went on ESPN.com yesterday before, you know, on the brink of yesterday's show, and this story was the fourth headliner on ESPN.com. Can you believe that? Well, the fourth headliner. Is it that important?
I can believe it.
I can't. That blew my mind.
It's not about it being important. When was the last time you've seen that from a university?
But no, but Alex, this is the reason why this story got a lot of press, and this is the reason why it was the fourth headliner on ESPN. It was the fourth headliner because Mark Hollis decided to weigh in on it. That's just the reason why here. The athletic director Mark Hollis, who's known as arguably, you know, he's definitely one of the best in the nation, arguably the best in the nation. You can make that case. But anytime you have Hollis weighing in on this in a series of tweets, that's going to get some attention. It's going to turn some heads. So, naturally, you know, D'Antonio was asked, about, you know, his takes on it and if he's surprised that this story has gotten the attention that it has gotten over the past 2 days now. And D'Antonio was very funny about it. I wish we could have cut the bite today, but, you know, my laptop and so on and so forth. But we'll definitely play it. I'll post it later. But, you know, he had an interesting take on it, Alex.
Yeah, and I have actually a little bit of a different take on here, Al, is that when you were, let's say, so you're an incoming freshman to Michigan State, or let's say you're going to Michigan or Oklahoma, any other school, did you know as a freshman who the athletic director was at the school when you first started? Probably not.
Michigan State?
Yeah.
For me?
Did you know who Mark Hollis was?
Maybe I'm a geek. Okay. I did. I knew Mark was,
Let's say you go to another. I mean, do you know a lot of the other athletic directors out there?
No.
Probably not. You
no,
probably
no,
only
no.
know David Brandon and Mark Hollis. And I would go on to say that the rest of the fans and the rest of the country probably doesn't know a lot about athletic directors, or probably can't name more than four or five. Even less. I would go on to say that. Agreed?
Okay. I see your point.
So listeners out there, if you can name more than four athletic directors, please call in. But I have a feeling that there aren't more than three or four athletic directors in the country that you can name off the top of your head. I think the fact that D'Antonio said it before Hollis weighed in on it is bigger than when Hollis's comments were, because everybody knows D'Antonio. D'Antonio, you know, being an assistant coach, being on ESPN before, I mean, D'Antonio is a well-known name. Now, Mark Hollis, you just hear about Mark Hollis because we're Michigan State fans. We're people covering, you know, we being as in people here in the East Lansing area or people at the game, we're the ones paying a lot of attention to it.
But Alex,
so I wouldn't go on to say that the reason Mark Hollis said it was the reason that it was the front page.
There's another layer to that too.
Okay.
But D'Antonio, but this isn't new though. D'Antonio was addressed. Do you remember last season when D'Antonio addressed this? That's another thing I wanted to bring up yesterday.
But he wasn't as strong with it.
D'Antonio talked about how he was disappointed and wished the fans would have stuck longer, you know, during a game last year. I forget what game it was. I remember specifically airing it on Current Sports TV. This isn't new, but this is the reason why. Not only did Mark Hollis weigh in on it, but what Mark Hollis said had a lot of headway. Mark Hollis basically threatened the student section, saying, hey, if you don't show up, we'll find other people, and not only show up, but show up and stay. We'll find other people who want to do it. Period. Mark Hollis threatening the student section. I don't know if threatening, maybe that's too strong of a word, but, you know, it's kind of putting it out there that, hey, if
right.
you don't stay, mm-hmm. we'll find an alternative to this thing.
But that wasn't in the headliner, though.
That's important. Oh, yes, it was.
It didn't say Mark Hollis threatened students?
No, I'm saying the way it came off, Mark Hollis is basically doing. In the tweets, did you not read the tweets? I mean, there's six tweets saying, hey, if you don't show up, we'll find other alternatives. We'll find MSU fans who want to take those seats. So the fact that Mark Hollis addressed it and sort of threatened, came at the student section saying, hey, if you don't stay, hey, your seats could be gone. That's the reason why this story got a little headway. But going back to the pressure, though. Mark D'Antonio, it was funny because he was asked about it and he had like a whole list. He had like a paper, a sheet of paper that had like three or four points that he wanted to make. And, you know, he went on to say, just to read a few quotes from the press here, I'm looking at the hard document here. D'Antonio on fans, he says, quote, if you want to change something, and off the record here, D'Antonio addressing the student section, not staying. If you want to change something, you've got to get involved. To get involved, you have to ask, end quote. So D'Antonio is saying, hey, if I want to see change and I want you guys to stick around, then, hey, I at least have to ask for it. So he's kind of just hitting on his motive for his rant that he had on Saturday. He went on to say, quote, I'm very appreciative of people who were there and stayed, and that's how I feel now. So yeah, I mean, he went. It's more to dive into what he said. Again, I wish we'd had the bite here, but I'm actually going to post the bite on WKAR.org later on today. So you want to definitely check that out. You get to hear not only the bite on this whole student section fiasco, but also a bite on what he thinks of Purdue coming up, how his team is handling success, how his team is sort of, you know, has to develop that, you know, step on the throat mentality and avoid close games and protect leads once they have it in a game. So we'll post all of that on WKAR.org. It was an interesting presser, to say the least. But to move on now, let's move on now. Again, we can take your calls. And if you got any more thoughts on the MSU football team, on the student section or whatever, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on that. Switching gears now, we did not get to this due to lack of time yesterday's show, but the Tigers, yes, the Detroit Tigers, getting swept by the Baltimore Orioles. We sort of hit on it with about 5 minutes left in the show, but, you know, the point I want to make, Alex, is that from a surprise factor, I'm not surprised that Detroit is not playing right now. I want to get that out there. I'm not surprised that the Tigers did not have a long bid in this year's playoffs and possibly, you know, did not make it to the World Series. That doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me, though, Alex, is how it happened.
Yeah.
And the way, when I mean how it happened, I did not expect the Tigers to get swept here. I did not expect the Orioles to just come in and just say, 1-2-3, bye-bye Detroit. I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. I thought the Tigers would at least I actually had the Tigers winning this series. I thought they would at least get past Baltimore. Baltimore showed, and you got to tip your cat, you know, to them, because man, they played big time that entire game. Guys like Nelson Cruz. I mean, Nelson Cruz was fantastic, really, arguably with that home run in Game 3. A home run that was sort of weird because, man, I mean, he didn't even expect it to be a home run. It was they showed up when they needed to. But, folks, is it really a surprise that the Tigers didn't make a deep run in the playoffs this year? Looking at how this season went for the Tigers, going from having a substantial lead in the AL Central to going on that 9-20 stretch, dwindling down to the end of the year where they were fighting for their playoff lives in competition with the Kansas City Royals. Looking at how it all happened, the demise of the Tigers, the bullpen struggling, the defense not being there, the bats going cold. You can't win a World Series with a suspect bullpen and suspect defense. You just can't. It just can't happen. Not at all. And you know what? I feel as though, you know, we've definitely been harping on, you know, the Tigers bullpen and so on and so forth. And there's other aspects, though, to this series that I feel as though I kind of overlooked a little bit. I felt as though the starting pitching for the Tigers, Alex, could have been better throughout those first two games. You know, you got three Cy Young Award winners in David Price and Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. I felt as though they gave up too many runs and did not pitch deep enough into their starts. That's how I feel about that. If you look at it, you know, you got these three Cy Young winners who started three division series games for the Tigers. They combined for a 4.43 ERA. So this starting pitching that is supposed to be and arguably the best in baseball, it simply was not that in this series. I think that's one thing that was overlooked in this series. I also think that the Tigers, especially in Game 3, those bats went cold once again. It's been a problem. It's been a problem. That's nothing new either. We know the bullpen hasn't been great, but the bats going completely cold has been a constant problem throughout this year for the Tigers. You can't expect, and looking at my Twitter, especially in Game 3, when the Tigers, you know, had some sort of life, when Martinez got them on the board, I mean, you're sitting there like, okay, well, is it too little too late here? Where was this earlier in the game? Where was this earlier in the series? The Tigers put themselves in positions where they needed to make plays And they shouldn't have been in those positions in the first place looking at that talented lineup. I think those were two things in that series that aren't getting enough credibility and aren't getting looked at enough as to why the Tigers lost that series, Alex.
All right, no, I agree. That might be a little bit. But I also think you have to look at the fact that things just didn't go their way, Al. And we'll get to some callers in a sec, but why don't you talk about some of the plays that happened in that game?
It's the little things. And that's the thing. And I always go back to it. I said before this series started, in the playoffs in general, it's the little things in the playoffs that get amplified if you do them wrong. Period. And the little things for the Tigers have been reasons why they haven't won games in the season, in the regular season. So this, again, this is not new. Period. Not new at all for the Tigers. And I feel as though now, you know, looking at this team, I mean, it was really World Series or bust. That was the expectations for this Tigers team. And, you know, now, what will happen now? You know, you got a guy like Torrey Hunter. You know, I'm looking here, you know, even after that game three, when they were eliminated, he doesn't know if he's going to return now. You know, Torrey Hunter's a guy who's 38 years old. He's up there in age. I thought that Torrey had a great year considering how many years he's been in the MLB. Torrey is a guy I love, and he was pretty efficient throughout the entire season. But what's going to happen to him? Will he return? He said he has to talk it over with his wife. I don't think Torrey is going to return, to be honest with you. I don't see Torrey Hunter returning for another run at this thing. You got Alex Avila injured. You know, that's another thing. You know, how healthy will he be for next year? Bruce Wandone. Hey, that man is healthy. How will he mesh into the lineup? What's going to happen with that? So there's a lot of question marks for this team as to what's going to happen now. And I haven't even got to Brad Ausmus, who had a ton of decisions throughout the year that were very, very questionable. What do you think about the Tigers? Are you surprised? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on the Tigers or anything that you want to discuss. And we actually have my man, Apachu, on line one. Apachu wants to weigh in on the fans. How you doing, Apachu?
All right, man. First of all, happy birthday, man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Honestly speaking, man, 24 years old, man, you're a lottery pick, brother.
Thank you, Apache.
I'm serious, man. They know it, too, man. They know what they got here, you know. But don't let it get to your head, man.
No, Mom always told me, stay humble. Stay humble. Yeah, that's the main thing.
Man. You know, you don't dress like it, brother.
Man. Those are all my moms, all right? She's my wardrobe guy, okay?
Yeah. Okay, I agree with you yesterday on the Michigan State fans. I think you hit it on the head, man. Mm-hmm. When you got a team as great as that, when you got a team that's blowing this team out, you know, you got other things you want to do. You want to get it all in. Let's face it, we're in a society where we're greedy. We want to get as much players as we can, you know. And the youngest, the night was still young, and it's cold, or go out and have some fun, and I think they chose the fun. And I guess you could be critical of it. I don't know. I'm envious as a Michigan fan. I like that to be our problem.
Right.
I agree with you, though, man. You know, they're young kids and they're having fun. So God bless them. You know.
Exactly. Right.
But I want to point something out to you. The Michigan game, man.
Yeah.
That was incredibly beautiful. They went to a ballpark, and those fans were savage and ravaged, man. And it was an incredible atmosphere. I felt like Michigan was being ambushed. It was scary, and I was just watching with my wife, man. I mean, it was a scary, beautiful game. And I thought the one thing that they lacked the last few years was they weren't nasty, man. They weren't hard hitting. That was a hard hitting game. A lot of people got hurt. That was an incredibly beautiful game, and that's what I look for, man. I don't look for blowouts, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to see people play some tough football. And I don't want Rutgers in the Big Ten. I thought they didn't have anything to offer other than when Shiva was there.
The
guy that went pro.
Yeah.
And you know what, man? That's going to be a nice team. And
yeah,
they got
yeah.
good fans. So that's going to be exciting, man. It hurt, but Michigan State was one play away from getting beat, and we were one play away from winning that game. And
I'm telling
you. I'm talking about that block kick. I'm talking about that call on the out-of-bounds play. That one ref said catch, and the other one said nope. He overruled him.
Yep.
And I still believe, as most people, that was not a fair call. Not looking for excuses. I'm looking for growth. And I want to point out that Brady is learning how to become a Big Ten coach. You go to a different conference. It's like the brother from Wisconsin who went to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just starting to win. And he's going to be playing, I think, Alabama this week. He's learning how to be a coach in the SEC. Every league is different. And unfortunately, I think Brady's going to be gone and maybe his boss. I don't know. And that's why I want to get to the fans. Okay, so I said before,
mm-hmm.
the fans, we're not winning, so the fans want to get rid of him, and they're using the vehicle they're using is the injury to the Shane Morris quarterback,
right,
that had a mild concussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's look back since they're playing Penn State this weekend. When Penn State, they made these accusations against the coaching staff, one of its members, the students came to the aid of Joe Paterno, the winningest coach in the history of football,
mm-hmm,
3+ national championships, doing good at the time, winning. A couple years ago, before that, they wanted to get rid of him. They called him a bum, but he's winning now. And not only did they protest in his favor, they were rioting.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
He, at the very minimum, was aware that something was very wrong with a member of his coaching staff and looked the other way, minimally. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you can't always count on the fans to be ethical, okay, or logical. And I hope that they give Brady a real good shake. A couple weeks ago, I wanted to get rid of him because he didn't start Devin Gardner. Devin Gardner is the only choice.
Yeah, and that's, Apache, for you being a Michigan fan, I wanted to harp on those two things. I mean, because for me, I mean, looking at Devin Gardner's production on Saturday, I thought that Devin played a solid game. And I didn't agree with the coaching staff taking Devin out and starting Shane Morris against Minnesota. I thought that was the wrong move from a leadership standpoint. You could divide a locker room with a move like that midway through the season or at the beginning of the season. I mean, I didn't agree with that. And also, do you think Brady's on the hot seat? I mean, what are your feelings? Because it seems as though you're kind of vouching for him a little bit.
No, it's political. It's no longer wins and losses. It's very, very political, like all these coaching decisions are.
Mm-hmm.
How can we keep the people appeased? How can we keep them in the seats? And it's all about the money. Ain't the damn thing funny in the end. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about.
Right.
I'd like to see him stay there, just like we did with Rodriguez. He was short-circuited, but you know what? He wouldn't get rid of his best friend, who was his defensive coach. You know, now he got a defensive coach, and they're playing some good ball. You know, I hate to see him go. I'd like to see him get another year or two. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the game where one of the Michigan State players punched a Michigan player, their number one player. The mm-hmm. lineman got punched by your defensive player.
You're talking about Luan and Golston.
Okay, now he got a 15-yard penalty, and D'Antonio did not pull him out of the game.
Right.
And I said to myself, man, that's a tough coach. I like him. See, because he told his players to go there and beat Michigan down. And the last few games, Michigan has been physically beaten down. The Big Ten is physical, at least with certain teams. And I didn't think Brady was physical enough. You know, you can fancy dance all you want, but you got a pound, and you can see that in the injuries. And did you see how the running backs were running for Michigan?
Yeah.
They were knocking people down. It was beautiful, man. I hadn't seen that for years. And that's the kind of football I'm talking about. That's bold. That's bold football right there.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's what Highball would introduce his game here. And by the way, I hope that bum don't come here. He's bigger than the game. He's so arrogant.
He is. He is bigger than the game. That is true.
Yeah, he is, man. I don't want him there. I loved him as a quarterback, you know, but I just don't want to see him there, him or his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can take a pretty good coach, and he got to learn the game, and you learn by playing. You know, D'Antonio, when he got there, he wasn't automatically a winner. He had to learn, and he wasn't even that confident. I understand that he didn't want to leave Cincinnati. He wasn't all that confident. So mm-hmm. it's an issue of growth. Is Michigan growing? They're growing. I hope it doesn't stop. You know, he got his butt over the flame, and that's good. You know, he's going to lose all that money. He's going to have to move some place, lose that house and all that kind of stuff. It's a serious business, you know. So hopefully that he's given an opportunity, man. So that's my piece there. But, hey, man, happy birthday and have fun tonight. Stay out of trouble. I'm going to leave a mouth.
Just working, Apache. Just working, my man.
Yeah, I heard that, man.
Oh, got to love it. Thanks a lot, Apache. I love Apache, man. Always an interesting and insightful call with Apache. I love that. That's an interesting take on things. All right. Well, let's hit the break. Again, you can weigh in just like Apache did. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. When we come back, we've got a stacked show for you. Weekend winners, top five Tuesday, all of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Hey now, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I just want to take some time out today's show with it being Pledge Week and all. I want to say thank you to all of all of our listeners out there who tune in on a daily basis, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you all. I mean, without you, Current Sports would not be possible. I mean, it's listeners like you and, you know, and Apachu. I mean, he calls in so much. I love him. You know, he's definitely a regular listener on here. We from on behalf of Alex and I and everybody at WKR, we want to say thank you. And if you want to, if you love what we do here at Current Sports and want to see that continue, we definitely, you know, appreciate you. And we open up our phone lines for you to make a kindly donation. The number to call to donate to WKAR is 517-353-5000. That is the number if you want to call in and donate or become a WKAR member. How about that? If you listen often, why not become a member, okay? That you know, it only seems logical, okay? The number to call again to do that is 517-353-5000. How about Apachu, Alex? I mean, that was an interesting take because Apachu is really the only Michigan fan that I've heard kind of, you know, stick up for Brady in a way and say that he likes what he saw from Saturday, what he saw from this Michigan team. You know, how about that? It's an interesting perspective in that regard from Apache.
Yeah, he's definitely not going against, he's definitely going against the grain there. And, you know, on this show at least, he's the only Michigan caller that has voiced that opinion. But there are plenty of Michigan fans in Lansing that I'm sure.
Should I bring up Ray? Ray, are you listening, my man?
But. Yeah, but definitely that there are many Michigan fans in Lansing that I'm sure have some kind of take on the whole Brady hoax saga.
Yeah, it's interesting. Definitely. Yeah, yeah, I thought it was a very good call from Apachu, and yeah, you know, and he called me out about my dressing, you know, my suits, you know, and mom hooked it up, man. She hooked it up. I think he said, what did Apachu say? He said, stay humble. I said, my mom always, you know, told me to stay humble, and then he says, well, you don't dress like it. But you know, I won best dressed in high school, man. So hey, I'm used to dressing kind of fly. But
yeah, there you go.
All right, well let's shift gears now. Weekend winners. That's something else we didn't get to. In addition to not getting to the Tigers and wrapping up that whole discussion, you know, each and every you know day to start the week, I guess you could say, here on Current Sports, we like to sort of recap the weekend because so much happens in the world of sports, and it's hard to recap it all in 1 hour. But we try to. And we love to pick out who we think our weekend winners are. Those who just won and did it, you know, even you know, not just win, but also, you know, do it in a fashion that's historical or becomes a staple in your memory. You know, this criteria for weekend winners really is up in the air, and we love to have a lot of fun with it. So, hey, how about we getting right into it? Here are your weekend winners here on Current Sports.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Yes. It is time for our weekend winners. You play to win the game, right? You heard from Herm. You play to win the game. So these are the best round that we saw, at least, over this past weekend. I have one that I bring up. I have a different take on this, Alex. I have one that I want to bring up here. And I believe we have a bite of it, too. I believe we do have a bite of it. The 5-year-old, do we have it? Do we have it? I believe it. Is it in the system? Okay, we're gonna grab it. But, you know, I thought this story was really, really cool. The Utah Jazz, they actually signed a 5-year-old free agent guard to a one-day contract. A one-day contract for a special scrimmage with the team on Monday night. Now, this story really, you know, pulls on the heartstrings. I happened to be on Facebook yesterday to wrap up, you know, my day at work, and I'm looking at it, and my cousin actually posted it from Jonathan Norris. If you listen to me, thanks a lot for posting this. And I saw it, I'm like, oh, what is this? So I click on it, and this is what I saw, and you'll get to hear it right now. Here it is.
Inbound to JP. Here he comes. Working through the big man. Novak misses on the steal. He goes by Exum. Gobert is there. He slides by Gobert. He rises to the rim and hammers. JP Gibson with a two-hand flush.
How about that? Now, the kid's name is JP Gibson. He was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And he signed his contract with the Jazz president, Randy Rigby, before joining the team in uniform for the annual preseason intra-squad scrimmage at Energy Solutions Arena. Really cool stuff. JP was joined by his parents, Josh and Megan, and his two-year-old sister, Elsie. The family was hosted by the Jazz and photographer John Diaz's Anything Can Be project, which creates storybooks for children with cancer about their dreams and wishes. How about that? I mean, you gotta love that. I bow down to the Utah Jazz for doing that. That is just fantastic stuff. A kid whose dream, I mean, he loves the Utah Jazz. They make his dream come true by getting a chance to make a play with the Utah Jazz, signing him to a one-day contract. A free agent guard is what they list him as. It's pretty cool. If you see the video, go YouTube it, folks. If you see the video, you know, he dribbles the ball and he gets in, you know, help from one of the players, and they lift him up for a slam. And the announcers buy into it as well. They announce it just like you heard, as if it's a real play. I love it. I mean, stories like that, that's what sports is about. It goes beyond the X's and O's, folks. It's not always about the X's and O's. Sometimes it's about doing things that reach beyond what we see on the hardwood or the gridiron or any court for that matter. I love that. Salute, J.P. Gibson, my man. You're my weekend winner. Alex?
You got to give a hand to Chloe Reinig and the Michigan State volleyball team. I mean, did you see that Michigan game that occurred on Friday night?
I did. We covered it, actually.
Man, for them to come back like that, they had a set that went all the way up to the 30s. There were like four or five straight set points that they overcame. Michigan State ends up winning 3-1. They split the state flag, so they split the flag. Nobody wins it, but that was a crucial game. I mean, if they lose one game less or one point less, Michigan would have had it. So Chloe Reinig had a career high, I think it was 27 kills, 26 kills, and she led that team to the win over Michigan at home.
How about that? All right, so your weekend winner is the MSU women's volleyball team.
You can't ignore this,
oh,
Al.
You got something else?
Would you ever think that you would say that the Baltimore Orioles or the Kansas City Royals will be going to the World Series? Ever? Can you imagine, can you fathom that one of those two teams will be in the World Series?
And that's why it's so disappointing if you're a Tigers fan and seeing that the Royals beat the Los Angeles Angels, the team who I had favored in the American League. To see that you would have had a chance to play the Kansas City Royals,
who you dominated,
in the ALCS, a team who you just whomped on all year, a missed opportunity, a golden opportunity for Tigers fans. Yeah, I believe we didn't get to get your take on the Tigers before we hit that first break.
Yeah,
Alex,
man,
what are your thoughts on the Tigers?
There's a lot in it, man. I mean, before we break down who's going to be free agents, what they need, let's talk about some of the coaching decisions in that series.
Yeah.
First thing. The biggest decision, the Tigers moved Anibal Sanchez to the bullpen because they didn't have any space for him, because you have three Cy Young Award pitchers, and then the Tigers had Rick Porcello, who had the best season of his career. Now, you move him to the bullpen just in case a starter goes out early or he can't make a certain amount of innings. They get their chance. They have Anibal Sanchez come in the game, but he only pitches for two or three innings. He's only 30 pitches deep. It's like the eighth inning, and they pull him for the bullpen that has been inconsistent all year long. My first question, why in the world do you pull your starting pitcher who is cruising? 1-2-3 innings, two innings in a row, striking out batters, and you pull him when he's on a roll. I don't understand that whatsoever.
Yeah, that was definitely a strike, right. Yep,
Second mistake by the Tigers. The biggest one, when you're down a run, you got a man on second. And actually, I mean, they had the man on first and second. Why in the world are you putting Hernan Perez in, a guy that's never played during the season nearly as much as some of the other players on that team? You're putting Hernan Perez. It doesn't matter who was not hitting well.
Yep.
Why would you throw a guy? This is your elimination game, and it stands where the whole season rides on him.
Yeah, you put it on a 20-year-old.
He's a AAA player.
Yeah, you put...
He's not even a major leaguer.
I agree. That's two agrees right there.
They brought him up the day before because of the injuries.
I agree. I hear you. Preaching to the choir. I hear you.
Third decision that didn't go well for the Tigers. I'll just stop here for what didn't go right. But you said it earlier. I mean, how do you not wave Miggy home from third, regardless of the score?
Well, why do you? You mean?
I mean, excuse me. Why do you wave Miggy home from third? You have your best hitters coming up. You have the both Martinez's after that. You know, it doesn't make any sense. No sense whatsoever. The third baseman's sole job is to look at where the ball is in the outfield and make an accurate decision off that. The only decision, and yeah, you could say it was Ausmus's call, Al, all you want, but at the end of the day, it's the third baseman's call. So for me, my blame isn't on Ausmus on that. It's the third base coach who made that decision, who circled that decision from the come home.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, there's nothing I don't disagree with you on that, which is rare. But no, I agree with you on all of that, Alex. I mean, yeah, I mean, it comes down to the little things. Those are little things that you think would be relatively common sense.
And the worst part of all, and as much as Albuquerque had his collapse last year in the playoffs and he didn't pitch well, throughout the season, Albuquerque was probably your most consistent bullpen relief pitcher that you had all season, Al Albuquerque. Do you agree with that? I'd say he was the most consistent out of the bullpen.
I don't know.
Who's more consistent than Albuquerque?
I have to look at the stats.
Who's more consistent than Albuquerque?
That's a stats question. I will have to, before I released my thoughts on it, I have to look at the stats. Can we get our interns to look up the stats on that?
Yeah.
Who had the lowest ERA in the Tigers bullpen this season?
Well, there's more than ERA. I mean, there's
saves,
there's strikeouts.
Saves, all that kind of stuff. If they can look that up and get to it. I don't want to jump the gun. Because I have a thought in my head.
But
I don't want to release it just yet.
Regardless if he's not the most consistent. He didn't pitch once in three games.
But let's be honest here, though, Alex. Ausmus made some decisions here that really were kind of puzzling. I don't understand how Verlander doesn't pitch longer during his start. I don't understand. Again, you go back to the Miguel Cabrera situation. And let's be honest here. Why, again, you go back to Sanchez. Why doesn't Sanchez pitch longer in that instance? I don't get it. I just don't get it. But a lot of things boiled over for the Tigers. It was certainly a learning curve for Brad Ausmus this year as first-year manager of the Detroit Tigers. There are a few Tigers fans out there that are calling for his job, saying he should not be the Tigers manager next season. Ausmus admitted afterwards that there are multiple instances throughout this season that were certainly learning moments, as he called them, for him. But it's too little too late. Tigers are out of it for a multiplicity of reasons here. And now you got a lot of question marks. So expectations kind of just went poof out the window.
And now let's kind of move on to the offseason. I mean, that's a whole.
We'll
talk more tomorrow.
We'll dive into that more tomorrow. I mean, with Alex Avila getting injured, you got Bruce Rondon becoming healthy. Will Max stay? David Price?
Will V-Mart stay?
That's another question here. I'm looking at the Free Press right now, and they're saying ESPN is reporting that V-Mart does want to stay with the Tigers. So there's a lot going on with the Tigers. We'll get to the off-season hurdles for the Tigers on tomorrow's Current Sports. As well, I want to give you guys a preview. Tomorrow, I'm excited to let you guys know that Tom Anastas, head coach of the Michigan State hockey team, will be joining me on the show. I know a few of you guys had some questions as to whether or not we would get Tom on because hockey season is right around the corner. I believe they actually play tonight, don't they? October 7th.
Yep,
they play tonight.
Exhibition versus Windsor.
Yes, they have an exhibition game tonight. They had their green and white game over the weekend, so Tom will join me on tomorrow's show to talk about the hockey season and his expectations coming up. But to wrap up the show, Top 5 Tuesday, Alex. In today's Top 5 Tuesday, centers on the NFL. I've been asked here and there, Al, who are your top teams in the NFL right now? Who are your top 5 teams? Is your Super Bowl favorite still the New Orleans Saints, the team you predicted will play the New England Patriots? I tell you, the NFL season is certainly in ebb and flow from week to week. And here it is, our top 5 NFL teams in the league so far. All right, welcome back to Current Sports with about 5 minutes left. This is, how about this? Everything just kind of aligned here. With 1:55 left, 5 minutes left in the show, here are your top 5 NFL teams from Alex and I for this year so far. so far, okay? I guess I'll start this thing off, Alex. I'll start with number five for me, and we'll get your number five.
Well, let's start by saying that no matter what, yours will be biased because you'll have the Cowboys in the
top
three.
No, the Cowboys aren't in my top five. They're in my top ten. They're number seven on my list. Right. They're not top ten, though, even though my Cowboys are rolling right now. But no, mine's not biased. I don't have the Cowboys in my list or the Lions. But number five, I got to go with the Cardinals. I'm going with the Arizona Cardinals. I think this team is pretty well-rounded right now. They lead the NFC West.
They just lost.
But look at this team, though. Look at the NFC West right now. Arizona is tied with the defending Super Bowl champions, the Seattle Seahawks, even though they're coming off a loss. I understand that. Again, I precursed her with the ebb and flow of an NFL season is certainly – it changes week to week to week. It's because the Bills beat the Lions on Sunday. I don't think the Bills are certainly better than the Lions.
You're talking about right now,
right
the Cardinals
now,
are
Alex,
the best
the Cardinals
team right
are
now.
3-1.
It they doesn't
are
matter. They just lost.
At home. I don't care if
they
just lost.
They had a horrible loss.
Right now, they are 3-1. The proof is in the pudding, baby. They are hanging tight with the defending NFL champions. So they are my number five. What is your number five?
All right, I got the San Francisco 49ers. Dominant defense.
Oh, gosh.
Still have a great quarterback. You just hate on the Niners.
No, my gosh. You have the San Francisco 49ers in your list. Are you serious?
Right now, they are one of the best teams.
San Francisco.
We're talking right now.
Arizona's better than San Francisco right now. San Francisco is the second to last team in the NFC West right now.
It doesn't matter.
They're 3-2, and you're going to argue about me with the Cardinals?
They just had a great win.
Alex, okay, all right.
Talking best team. You're talking
about
best teams.
I'm talking about right now, yes, the Cardinals are better than the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, they are.
A lot of question marks after the Cardinals game.
Gosh.
How about their QB?
Okay.
I mean, what's up with their quarterback
right now?
We'll
get to that. We got 3 minutes left. I'm going to go with four. Cincinnati Bengals. I love the Bengals. This team is leading the AFC North. They are 3-1 in the AFC North, have not lost at home. Baltimore is kind of nipping at their heels. I love Cincinnati.
Are you on another planet?
No. Even though they lost to New England. They lost to New England on Sunday. But New England, that was a game. I feel as though too many people feel as though New England is not that good this year, even with a few bad weeks, so to speak. New England is still a dominant force to be reckoned with. I'm going with Cincinnati, 4.
New England completely romped
on
the Bengals.
Still, that was a game. I chose New England to win that game. I think New England is a team that people are underestimating just for two bad weeks here. We could have been saying the same thing about New England. You could have been bashing New England 2 weeks ago, Alex.
And that's exactly why they're number 4. In my top five poll.
Well, okay. I can see that.
Now, what good team has Cincinnati played other than the Patriots?
Do you really want me to go on this rant right now with 2 minutes left?
Go ahead.
You would throw this rant at me. Let me finish my list. Well, I'm going to go in on tomorrow's show with this, okay?
Let's go.
All right. But number three, give me the Chargers. Who's your number
three? I'll take your Cowboys.
What?
They're 3-1.
They
just beat a great team.
Do you not know how the Cowboys are? This is coming from a Cowboys fan.
Tony Romo is leading all quarterbacks right now.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that. But we were singing the same song in week four last year with the Cowboys. And this is coming from a Cowboys fan.
But we're talking right now. It doesn't matter about last year.
I'm talking about right now.
Right.
I understand
that. So now, they're in the top five.
I will not put Dallas in my top five until I see how they close out a year. How they close out the regular season, I will not put them on top.
Okay, but then you're not looking at right now.
Alex.
That you're looking at the end of the season.
You're killing me, Smalls. Number two, Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos, think Peyton Manning is he's looking great. Peyton Manning looks solid right now. It's looking like this team hasn't missed a beat coming off last year. I'm going with Denver.
Yeah, I got Denver as well. They just couldn't pull it when it counted, that tough game. They just couldn't beat Seattle.
How is San Diego not in your top five, though?
I don't know. I think
because San Diego is actually ranked higher than the Broncos right now.
I know. Rivers has been great, but I don't know. I still have some questions.
You put the Cowboys over the
Yeah.
Oh, no, Alex. Okay.
I don't know about the Chargers, man. I still got questions. What about their defense?
All right. 30 seconds. Number one, Seahawks.
Okay, I'll go Seahawks, too.
You're going Seahawks. All right. Well, at least we agree on that. At least we agree on that. Oh, boy, we have a lot to talk about tomorrow. All right. Well, that wraps up today's Current Sports. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. The Cowboys in your top five, Alex. All right. And be easy, people.